right. Today, we are, the route through the desert stops by Sinai, and it gives us the OG tablets. This is the original tablets. And I'm always amused by what AI does for, like, when you describe a biblical description and you plug it into AI. And there's Moses, and he looks like some, like, Kenny Loggins character, like that 70s feathered hair or something. And there he is. He has the tablets. And, you know, they're broken because he was mad and broke them. But I do think we have this composite conception of God's law. And this composite conception of God's law is pretty childish. I mean, like, we've just absorbed it a little bit, and then we have fan theories about it, and we've just believed it over time. And I think one of those aspects is that we have these rules from God, and they're really disconnected from him as a person, and they feel pretty boring and bureaucratic and arbitrary, and God just sends these instructions, but he's way off. And he just says, hey, I just want you to obey. It's like if you've ever worked at a place, you know, when I was in the seminary, I was working at FedEx, Kinko's, and corporate would send down new directives, new laws, new rules. And every week, it'd just be a new email like, hey, remember now for all your reports, you know, we're going to use Form 632 now, from now on. Everybody, use Form 632, get on board. And they don't care if you like it. They just want you to use Form 632. So we can have this conception of the law that says, hey, just do it, just do it. If you've ever been to, it's like a burrito place, it's called Moe's, and you walk in, and it's almost like the Chick-fil-A version of like, it's my pleasure to serve you, you know, it comes from corporate training. And you walk into Moe's, and within 3 seconds of someone opening the door, at Moe's, they're required to say, welcome to Moe's, and they say it really loud, like over, so like if you're a shy person and you walk into Moe's, like within the first 3 seconds, you're like, I don't even know if I want to order, you know, but it comes from corporate. Just do it. Just say welcome to Moe's, new training person. Just do it. Just do it. We want compliance. We don't care if you like it or not. Just be loud and be positive. And I think we look at God's law and we're like, oh, compliance really is the biggest issue here. If you've probably felt that as a parent sometimes, like you have this rule, you know, like, hey, I want you to pick up your socks. Hey, you only get 20 minutes of screen time. Hey, whatever it is. And hey, don't hit your sister, whatever it is. And at some point, like, you don't care if they internalize it. You're like, just do it. Just do it. Daddy said not to do it. I need some peace here. I'm watching Netflix, okay? And so compliance actually becomes pretty pressed into you as a child, and it becomes pretty apparent as a parent. You're like, yeah, we just kind of want obedience around here, actually. I don't care how you feel about it. And then when we look at the Ten Commandments, actually, I think a lot of us could look at the Ten Commandments and be like, that's fairly easy. Like, I haven't murdered someone today. Like, today I didn't have to use my AK. Like, check. I didn't have an affair today. Check. Like these are, so this is kind of a facile, immature view of law, childish view. We just want obedience. And actually, are they all that hard? And I think it's fascinating that I think people continue, even grown adults in the church, continue to have sort of a childish view of the law. Like, God just wants us to try our hardest and obey. He wants compliance. And maybe they're not that hard after all. So here's the shape of what we're going to be looking for. My thesis is any desert that you have or go through, including the biblical record of a desert, is going to have you run through God's law again. And it's very important for a desert, and we're going to see why. Just a little sidebar here for you is, like, whenever you read in the Bible, like, especially like David talks about God's law, I think, oh, the Ten Commandments, that's what, really, whenever you see God's law, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about, like, the Torah. It's talking about the writings. And so the Ten Commandments is a super, super shorthand for all of God's ways and story and precept. So just as you study the Bible, whenever you see the law, just don't shorthand it all the way down to just 10 commandments. It's much, much more than that. Okay, this is shape. How do we use the law? That's number one. I want to look at that. I think the law is a different way to say love, and we're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at chiseled love. So do you remember this? We'll look at how we use it. Do you remember, some of you film buffs might remember this, but in the early 80s, there was a movie called The Gods Must Be Crazy. Do you guys remember watching this? I know it's been a long time. I think my history teacher made us watch this. But the premise is this, is you're an indigenous tribe somewhere in Africa, and a Coke bottle falls from some airplane or from the sky. Some pilot throws it out of a small airplane. It lands, and they discover it, and they don't know what it is. It's come from the gods, of course, because it came from the sky, and it's one of those hard glass Coca-Cola bottles. And then they're like, oh, it's great for grinding corn. Right? You roll this hard thing and you grind corn, and then someone picks it up and puts some wind over it, and it like whistles, and they're like, oh, this is a strange musical instrument from the gods. And then some guy throws it, hits his neighbor, knocks him up, and there's like, oh, weapon. So everyone's fighting over the Coke bottle, and they're like, this it must be from, what is it? What are the uses for this bottle? Okay, this is a historical thing when people come to God's law. God gave it to us, like, oh, here's some rules. And his people have been like, okay, what is it? How do we use it? So this is a small theological little sidebar here, but I try to give it to you bits and pieces so you can just absorb it, okay? But historically, the church, God's people, has looked at the law and said the first thing it's used as is like a mirror. And what that means is you look at God's law and you're like, whoa, God is super great and pure and more pure than I can imagine. And that mirror, I'm looking at myself in my own heart and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't really measure up to that. And so in many ways, the law, when we look at it in a mirror, we're like, oh, that condemns me. Yeah, that's me, and it's not matching up to God. It's not measuring up to God. It condemns me. And so a lot of theologians have said this. We use God's law to say, this is who you are compared to God, and you really need a Savior. You really need a Savior, okay? Paul describes this in Acts 6, Acts 17, Romans 7, Romans 8. He has this description of his own life. He tells about the Damascus Road experience, and he fills this in about something that you don't find in Acts 9. And he says this is the last of the Ten Commandments actually gave him a shot across the jaw. And what he means by that is this. Is he went through 1 through 9, and he was like, yep, Yahweh, no other gods, check. Yep, I don't have any idols, check. I honor my parents, check. I didn't have to use my AK, check. Right? So he goes through all of them, but he comes to the last one, which is covetousness. Like, my heart is envious of what someone else has. And he comes to that, and you know what he says Jesus told him in Acts? He says, I saw you, Paul, kicking against the goads. And a goad is a pointy stick. So on the left, you're going to have poke, all right? On the right is a pokey, all right? That's what the law is that it was poking Paul. And he was saying, you don't measure up here. You thought you did it, but guess what? One little fall in one area of the law, that means you're guilty of all the law. And Paul was fighting against that. And he knew it. He knew. Yeah, I don't measure up. And he knew this. I can never change my heart to the point where I can achieve enviousness or no enviousness. I can never get there. I was kicking against the pointy stick. Your law was pointing. Your law was poking. Poking. And he knew it. And when he met Jesus, he knew that was the answer to being poked by the law, is this man fills the law. All right, there's another use that, and maybe I just another biblical character is, you know, Isaiah ran into the same thing, Isaiah 6. What does he say? He gets this vision of God, and what does he say? I mean, their words, I'll make, keep it family friendly, but he's like, whoa, I'm done for, woe is me, I'm done, I'm toast. He got a vision of a perfect God, and he knew that mirror was not him. It wasn't him. Okay, second use of the law. So the first use of the law is a mirror. The second use of the law, and this is historically, theologians have said this, is the law will hold back evil in some way. It's a seatbelt for evil. All right, so the world is not as bad as it could be. It's bad, but it's not as bad as it could be. The laws that we have like in our culture in LA, here are two of them. You guys have seen these before. I've seen these. On the left is you have no parking signs, and they just like stack as many codes as they can, like in one linear sign. Tollway school days, no stopping Monday through Friday, but it's only 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. But then school days exceptions, 15 minutes Monday through Friday for school business. So if you're allowed to go into school, we'll give you, but you know, on. All right, then you have one for school zones. And they're like, this is the law, all right? We have other signs that say 45 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour, but then we have one in school zones and we say, this is the law, but we really mean it this time because we're going to double the fine. So yes, those others are law, but we really mean this law, okay? You're going to double the fine. Okay, so this is what it does, is does this stop anybody from speeding through school zones? No, it doesn't. Now, does it stop some people from speeding through school zones? It does. So we see that the limited power, just the presence of the law, will put a weight on someone's conscience, and they're going to be haunted by the law, even if they don't like going 25 miles an hour. They will be haunted by it and not liking it, and some people will comply because they don't want to pay the double fine. Okay? So, that's what we see in the use of the law, is that it cannot change your heart to love it, but it can limit evil. It can limit evil. There's a third use of the law we see historically is this. Is it reveals to us what is pleasing to God and how should we now live knowing that Jesus fills the law. Okay, so this third use, kind of going to it and saying, have your law speak into my life and I'm going to trust it and follow it. This third use can only happen to a heart that has been redeemed by Jesus. A heart that's been made alive to Jesus. Otherwise, you'll hate it. What's going to drive you to go to Jesus and say, Tell me more of your ideas. Could you tell me more of your laws, even though I can't follow them all? I want to know how that informs all of life. When I read Psalm 119, and this was as a young college student, when I read Psalm 119, I'm going to be honest with you, I did not understand why David was so excited about the law. How I love your law, O Lord. How I love your precepts, how I love your statutes, how I love your commandments, how I love your ways. I read that, I was like, David, you are weird. You are a holy roller, and I don't know you. Because my heart had no desire to know more about, I didn't want more rules over my life. I wanted less rules over my life, especially in early college. So only the redeemed of the Lord can have this third use where it says, just tell me more about your thoughts and your ways. But that's a third use. Now, I've told you about, so it's like the bottle from the sky, and I've said these are the three uses, the way God has given us his law. But there's something else, and I don't think I hear it, even in the podcasts I listen to. Yes, I listen to sermons because I'm a nerd, I'm a preacher, right? You're like, of course you do. Tony, you love that. But I don't hear this often, is that the law is a different way of expressing the love of God. And this is what I mean by that. I read this article, and it was a guy who was a single parent, and it was really, really difficult. He had three kids. His wife had died. He was a single guy, and he had to do all of the things. And there was a stretch when they were in middle school and high school where he would leave for work, and he just wouldn't see them. He would be like, you're going to have to get to school by yourself, but I'm going to get up early, like at 5 a.m., and I'm going to make your lunches, and I'm going to make these sandwiches. And so he wrote this thing to one of his sons, how to make the best sandwich. And what it is it's a list of rules. And he's talking about all the different breads and all the different oils and all the different sauces and all the different meats and how you would cut them and all the accoutrements, the onions, the tomatoes, the lettuce, the crunch, the you name it. And where to put it, how to layer it. Do you go club style? How many days can you have bacon on a sandwich? Well, all of them, of course. No. So these rules. And his son was entering into this article, and the father said this. He said, I couldn't love them the way I wanted to love them, but I was loving them through these sandwiches and the rules of how to make a sandwich. It was the only thing I had. So this is what I want you to see, is sometimes we need to look at the law and say, hey, look, what he's describing is the most loving, flourishing, careful, kind, considerate life. Like it's coming from his person, and he's saying, guess what? Life is better when people aren't murdered. Yes, I agree. See that he's saying, this is most loving when there's not death and retribution. This is life at its fullest. Carl, I'm going to borrow your... Carl told me something in the last couple weeks. He said, you know, Tim, I've never thought about it, but Carl, do you care if I say this? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot. Now you can't. Now I have to say it. No, but he said, hey, Tim, I thought, you know, like the law is an expression of perfect reality. And when we do the things against the law, we're actually creating a fantasy that isn't real. I just thought that was a stunning thought. And God is saying, did you know my existence as perfect love is the realest thing there is? So you're going to forgive me. You know the Foreigner song, right? My kids are going to hide under the seats. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Okay. You're like, what is going on? He's lost it. He should leave now. If you want to know what love is, you know what? Galatians answers this, and so does Romans. But here's a great synopsis. In Galatians 5, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you get the distillation? Like, you want to see perfect love? Look at my law. Look at my law. A person that is fully loving will be acting in these ways. So look at the law as a perfect expression of love. I think that's a big vision of God's law. All right. Now there's the third thing I want to talk about is chiseled love. So God inscribed those tablets into stone. All right. There was a permanency about it. It wasn't a dry erase marker. It wasn't decomposed ink on smashed papyrus. There was this longevity to it. And he's, I'm gonna put it in stone so you can have you can give it to the people, and the people can have it for a long time. So it's over their lives. And it's so impossible. It's an expression of perfect love, but it's so impossible. And Jesus comes along, and I'm going to give you two theological terms here, and he obeys the law both actively and passively. And this is what it means. It means this, is that wherever there was an active, like in the Ten Commandments, he actively always did the right thing. And then the passive obedience is this, is he was willing to obey whatever his father wanted him to do. And so Jesus comes along and fills it perfectly. Now, when Christ becomes, and this is where it's going to press on you right now, when Christ really becomes the doer of all of the laws of your life, you become to be a person that isn't haunted by the law, and guilt and shame. Now, you are in the same community that I am, and a lot of us are haunted by guilt and shame. And our broader civic community around us is really haunted by law and guilt and shame. When I said I would read Psalm 119 in college, I'd be like, this doesn't mean anything to me. I had a similar experience that I would go to the Proverbs in college and I would read them. And do you know what it was doing? It outed me and I hated it. Oh, this is another way that you see inside of my heart and you see my motivations and you see all of the secret spots and it says, Tim, you're guilty of that. And Over time, I just hated reading the word because every time I go to the word, I'm just like, yep, I'm an idiot. I'm wrong. I'm doing, and I avoid it because it peered so deeply. But when I met Jesus, and this is, you're going to see the flip here, because I think it's happened to those who have found Jesus as well, is when you find Jesus as doer of the law and you begin to read those things, you know what it becomes? It becomes a grin. You're like, I am totally like that. It's true. Yeah, you got it. You got it right. And you laugh because you're like, that's it. That is reality. That's true. And do you know why you're laughing? It's because Jesus is the filler and the doer, and you have no shame on your shoulders. That's why you're laughing at it, because it's not on you. It's not on you. So this is what God does to Moses and to the people in the desert. Now let's not romanticize deserts. Things are raw. And he has them stop by and he says this, I'm gonna try to convince you that I am so loving and my love could be over this entire people if you would just trust that it's true in love. Wouldn't that work? And I'm gonna put them in stone tablets and they're for keepsies. You keep them, I got enough. You keep them, take them. Wouldn't that be enough to know that you're loved in the desert? Wouldn't it be enough? No. No. We've turned the law and rebelling against the law as an inspiration. On spring break, and you guys have seen these before, on spring break, one of our favorite places in Santa Barbara, we were going through, East Beach Tacos, recommend, 5 stars, go if you can. But this was in the bathroom. Yes, I had my phone out in the bathroom. It was a single-use bathroom, all right? And there it was. Life is short, forgive quickly, kiss slowly, love truly, laugh uncontrollably, dance like nobody's watching. No, that's not on there. Okay, break the rules. Break the rules, you. It's an inspiration to the kids. And to your own heart. Oh man, I'm gonna stay young at heart. Look, I think the Lakers should do this in the playoffs. You know what? I'm gonna live like nobody's watching, dance like nobody's watching. We're breaking the rules. No. That wasn't out of bounds. My court is larger. Break the rules, Lakers. Does that work? No. Ask any educator. Oh, we should tell the kids, hey, you guys get out there and break the rules. Break the rules. They'd be like, nah. Like, you just messed up my class. You messed up our school. What if your spouse came to you and be like, you know what? I've just felt like this pumping in my heart. I'm going to break the rules today. And your spouse is like, tell me more. Right? Like, it's not going to work. And we have turned it into this inspiration of the life fully lived. What? That's craziness. God himself has written laws into stone and on our hearts through his law. And was it enough to show his people love? It was enough all by itself, but it was not enough to change our hearts and our desire. It wasn't. So, Isaiah gives us a preview of what's ahead. Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child? This is mom. You guys get mom feelings. That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Even good moms may forget their sons. Yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Who the heck chisels names into their palms? I've heard of tattoos, but this is ridiculous. Well, you guys know already. Someone who loves you enough to absorb every single ounce of the penalty of the law. And it's chiseled through his palms. Now that is perfect love fulfilling perfect law. And let me just tell you, you guys need this, and I need this so much in a desert. Why? We think the desert was meant to take us down, to mess with us, to hurt us, and it was by God. That's what we think of deserts. But no. You need to know in the desert that you have all of his love. Let's pray into that. Father, I do think your ways are not just best, but beautiful and lovely. And when I say that, I have to say that my ways have not been best or beautiful or lovely. By your Spirit, would you move among us and change our hearts to trust and really believe that all of you is good, including your law. Thank you, Jesus, for covering us and making us brilliant by fulfilling it. Spirit, work among us, we pray.